Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 83.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me today on episode 83. Now, obviously you can hear I'm a little sick, so I apologize, and just bear with me. So this episode is going to be on, it's going to be a reharm series, in which I'm going to take progressions and analyze them and talk to you about them and explain what can be done with these progressions. And they're going to be common progressions you see a lot in tunes, right? 2-5-1s, 1-6-2-5-1, 3-6-2-5-1, 1-4-3-6-2-5-1, right? All these different types of progressions I'm going to talk to you about, analyze them, talk about comping, movements you can do, and also talk about how to improv through those movements as well. So this is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to go over this. And again, it's going to be broken up into comping probably first. And again, I'm kind of riffing off this or doing this a little bit off the cuff. It was more of an idea. I didn't have much time today, but I needed to fit the podcast in. But it's going to be broken down into comping and then improv. So you're going to get a little bit of both. And reharms are amazing because they really, once you kind of know the basis of theory and certain types of movements, then you can use all these reharms to do really anything with tunes. And that's the great part about jazz, is when you learn these theory tools, you have freedom, right? You're learning freedom. And that's why at JPS, we always preach that you want to learn your tools, and this will allow you to create freedom within the tunes rather than kind of copying what someone else plays or kind of reading transcriptions. You're not actually learning freedom there. You're kind of just learning repertoire ideas rather than kind of understanding why you are doing what you're doing. So let's dive right in. So what we're going to be doing here, again, is my first progression with you is going to be a 2-5-1. So if we take a 2-5-1 in C, okay, we have our D minor 7 chord going to our G7, going to our C major 7, okay? Now, there's so many different reharms we can do. And again, the first thing you want to, a couple of the tools that I'll be talking about are going to be the tritone sub. And if you don't know what these are, I'd recommend you go back to my previous podcast so you can understand what they are, because I'm going to kind of move through this quickly. So I'm not going to explain all the different types of tools because I have a lot to get through, right? So we have the tritone sub, we have the relative two minor, we have dominant chords with the sus, getting dominant chords being a sus rather than the dominant first, and then a mixture and combination of all of those. And we have a minor turning into a dominant as well, 5-1 resolution. So if you're not familiar with any of that stuff I just said, again, kind of go back over the previous podcast, or you can just listen to this, then go back, completely up to you. So one of the first things I'm going to talk about is obviously the tritone sub. So with a 2-5-1, I'm going to use my rootless voicings in my right hand here. Instead of going to the 5, we can go directly to the tritone sub. So we'd have D minor 7 going to D flat 7, going to C major 7. Really, really simple reharm. A lot of people know this one, and it's a great thing to do, again, if we're comping. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just doing a turnaround here. Right, so that reharm with the tritone sub is going to a D flat 7. I'm using my rootless voicing in my right hand, and a lot of times this is exactly how I'd comp for a soloist or just in a tune. I'd kind of use some of my bass notes here and my rootless voicings here, and excuse me, my left hand playing the bass notes. Right, kind of sounds like Stablemates, right? A little bit. So that kind of tritone there, instead of going E flat to A flat, right? We're going E flat minor, D7, D flat, and again in the key of C, D minor, D flat, C major 7. I think what I'll do here is just kind of talk about improv with each reharm actually as well. So again, the only thing that's going to change here with our soloing, if we're soloing over this D minor chord, when we get to the D flat, we're simply going to use a D flat Mixolydian mode to solo with over that chord, right? Sorry, just checking my pedal here. I think it was giving me... There we go. So when we get to that D flat, we're using D flat Mixolydian, right? Again, coming from the key of G flat, right? That's where that D flat 7 is coming from. That's how we're using the tritone. So we have D Dorian. And again, some of you are like, oh, why do we need modes? But again, it's for situations like this that it's very helpful. So we have our D Dorian, D flat Mixolydian, which is just a dominant scale used for dominant chords, and then C major 7, Ionian, right? Just a C major scale. Okay, so we'd have D Dorian, you know, whatever you want to create over that. So again. So with that Mixolydian, I'm going from D Dorian to D flat Mixolydian. And again, I'm not using anything else outside those modes. I'm using notes within the mode. I think what I played before there, I did just a little trill right down to the G. And again, your key is to connect the D flat 7 into the 1, the 1 major 7, by landing on a chord tone. So you'll see almost every time, excuse me, that I'm going from the D flat and landing into a chord tone, right on that downbeat. Whoops, sorry. I hit a sharp 11 there. I'll talk about that in a second, but. Right, landing on the third of the C major. So that's the first one we can do, okay, using the tritone sub. Now, using the relative 2 minor for our 2-5-1 is another nice thing to do. So we can go from D minor, okay? Now, instead of going to the tritone, we can go to the relative 2 of the tritone. So the tritone is D flat 7. We're going to use the relative 2 minor, excuse me. I'm pretty sick here, so again, thank you for bearing with me. Going from A-flat minor to D-flat 7, right? So we're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And that's the reharm. So again, excuse me, if we're comping 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, here's our turnaround on the 6. Beautiful reharm. I love doing this, okay? And you'll hear this a lot in solos, too. Again, we don't have to, we can always jump up to comp. So wherever you're comping, you might be up here. If you're playing with a band and a bass player is playing the bass notes, right? I still like to use bass notes, but you can do either or. So we're getting that A flat minor to D flat 7, right? To C major 7. And again, with soloing, same thing. So we have our D minor 7. So we just add a little 2-5 that you play over, just like any other 2-5 in there for those two beats. Excuse me, that one measure. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, right? And then you just solo over that 2-5. Right? So again, I just went... and again, you're always resolving down to the 1 major 7, all right? Now, the other thing we can do is instead of... using the tritone of the 5, right? We can take the tritone of the 2. All right, now how does this work? So basically what we can do And so instead of taking the D minor 7, basically with a 5-2-1 cadence, right? All dominant chords are going to basically resolve in a 5-1 sequence. And any 5-1 motion is a very strong cadence. That's why 2-5-1 is a very strong progression, because we have a D, the 2, resolving down by a 5th, resolving down by a 5th. Because of that harmonic cadence, no matter what chord quality, if you have a dominant or a minor, they're still going to resolve down and form that strong cadence. So if we change the 2, now not always in tunes do you want to do this, but it's possible, right? If you change the 2 to a dominant, going to G7, that's more of a rootless voicing there. Kind of threw me off guard. Going to our 1, right? That's possible. Okay, and so again, these are basically secondary dominants. We're turning the 2 into a secondary dominant. It's just a dominant resolving to the 5, then to the 1. So that's one possibility as well, even before we start to reharm this and turn that into a tritone. So instead of using a minor here, we could have a dominant. Here's our dominant chord with a drop 2 voicing in my right hand. Some extensions here. So having that 2, and that's a huge thing, and I talk about this in a lot of the blues reharms, is that when you get to the 2 chord in a blues, standard jazz progressions will tell you for a blues that you're playing a 2 minor, right? You're basically playing a 2 minor going to the 5, so you have. Now, if you make that a dominant chord, it's going to give you a completely different feeling and atmosphere. Oscar Peterson loved to do this on his 2 chord. He'd make it a dominant instead of a minor, and it just adds more tension, right? More of that like really heavy tension. You're like, oh yeah, I love it. So, and then here's your minor chord, right? So you can kind of hear the difference. Again, minor, and then here's your dominant, right? So having that 2 chord be a dominant is a really nice thing to do. Now with that, again, comping and soloing is just the same. You're just changing the quality of the chord, so you're adding that third. Instead of it having it be a minor, you have it be a major third, right? And then that's really it. You know you're soloing over that. Now we can take the 2 of that, the tritone of that, and make this an A flat 7. I love this progression. I just love it. It's really, really nice. You don't actually hear many people do this. You hear it in gospel a lot. And a lot of church chops will do this. The flat 6 dominant down to the 5 sus. And then resolution. Right? So you hear that flat 6 chord. Right? It's a very churchy sound, but I love it. I mean, you can use this anywhere in your 2-5-1. So again, if you have a 2-5-1 with an ending resolution, let's say at the end of a tune, instead of going to that 2 minor to add more tension, right? Go to your flat 6, which again is, it's not, I mean, you can think of it as flat 6 if that's easiest for you. Again, it's just a tritone sub for your 2 dominant. Again, I'm just using A flat 7 here, Mixolydian. Again, I love this progression, especially in blueses, but it can be used in a lot of different stuff, right? If you're playing a blues, let's say you're on the 4 chord. 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's your flat 6, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. If I do it a little bit slower, we're on the 4 chord. 1, 2, 3, 4. 3, 6, flat 6. So that flat 6 in there. I kind of doubled the length of the chords, but just to give you a better picture of the sound that flat 6 is going to create, it's amazing. Another nice trick to do, there's a lot going on here, guys. Sorry, I forgot to mention, to get all these progressions, okay, the reharms and progressions that I'm talking about, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast83, and you can download all the progressions that I'm talking about here and use them with whatever you want, right? You can practice them. I'll give you some practice tips on there as well. You can also find all of our podcasts at jazzpianoschool.com by going to resources and podcasts, and you'll get a list of all the podcasts we've done so you can view them in the website. But so there's our flat six. Shoot, I lost my train of thought. Yes, so moving to the five. Excuse me. So that I just love that feeling. And again, oh, that's what I was going to say. So in a turnaround, if this is at the end of a tune, right? Especially a blues. Again, I love this chord in a blues because it has a very bluesy feel. When you're using a C blues scale over this change, I'll go back again. So it has that such a bluesy feel. And the thing that I love to do is, you'll be able to understand this better in the chords, but you have this the first time, and then normally this would go to the one, right? But instead of going to the one, I love to add more tension by repeating the same progression. So here's our normal progression. We'd have one, two, three, four, one, two, three, the five chord, one, two, six, right? Whatever this turnaround is. So we have two bars of turnaround. We have one, two, three, four, two, two, three, four. Now, because the flat six to the five essentially leads us back to the one, we can just repeat the same progression twice, and that will still bring us back to the one at the top of the head of a blues form or in any sort of jazz standard, right? That if you want to create a little bit more tension. So what I mean by that is we have our first flat six in replace of the 2-5-1. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. That's two bars each. Then we just do it again. We just play the flat six again for one bar. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. And then we're at the top. So essentially, we skipped the 1-6-2-5. We just skipped any of the standard general turnarounds that we'd play after doing this, like 1-6-2-5, whatever we'd want, or one flat 6-5. You know, all those general turnarounds, we skip those by doing repeating it again. 1-2-3-4. 1-2-3-4. And then we're at the top again, right? You hear how that works? So you're building, right? You're creating this anticipation. You're building. It's so much fun, right? So we have, so here's the blues, right? Let's say we're on the four chord. 1-2-3-4. And then we do it again, right? And then you're at the top there. You hear how that works? So again, if I'm comping for someone, here's our four chord. And then I kind of add in that. I love adding the that kind of thing there, or you can do it how, you know, you don't have to do that, you know, however you want, but having that tension, excuse me, kind of really builds, especially if a soloist is going to town, you can double that and really keep building the tension instead of doing a standard 1-6-2-5 turnaround. So I love that. I got to keep cruising here. There's so many different reharms we can do on a 2-5-1. So we have the tritone, and now what we can do here, which is less of a building, but we can add the relative to minor to that tritone. Excuse me, guys. Again, I'm so sorry. I'm just fighting a cold right now. So for the A flat, the relative to minor would be E flat minor, right? So we'd simply add that 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4-1, right? You see how that is? Before, we had the one, the two, going to the relative two minor to the tritone. So we had one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one, right? Now, we're starting off with the E flat minor, one, two, three, four, one. Now again, since you're landing on this E flat minor, you it's kind of tricky because if the bass player is playing a D and you're playing an E flat minor seven, it's gonna sound pretty terrible. So I would kind of maybe look if depending upon the level of your bass player, if you can hear this progression, maybe you use it. If you're playing solo piano, absolutely use it whenever you want. Or if the soloist can catch it with you, you know, can catch this progression, you can do that as well. You can even start your, you can even start out on the two and then go to the 2-5 there with the relative two. So we'd have one, two, three, four, five. You know, so you can always change the duration of each chord however you want it to fit. You could do one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one. So I know that's kind of one chord per beat thing, but again, as you get more advanced, depending upon how you comp, you can add those movements in quickly. If you notice in the last thing that I did, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one. I like adding in the tritone, even though I'm still on the five, to go to the one. So we have one, two, three, four, one. So just that brief movement of adding the tritone in still adds a lot. So you can always switch and flip-flop the rhythmic duration of however you want to kind of organize this. Again, if you're soloing, you would just, again, solo over this reharm. So basically, essentially, again, you have a 2-5 going to the, G7, whatever extensions you want to put in. I'm putting the flat 9 here. You can just add a regular and then going to the 1, right? So, you know, so whatever you want. So that's a really nice thing. So now these movements can always be kind of flip-flopped and, you know, so many different fashions. I don't have time to explain everything, but again, because of all the tools that we have available, there's so many different types of reharms. These are the most, these are the ones that I enjoy the best using and that you can use. But again, there's so many ways to mix and match these, right? So you'll start is once you get into this, you're going to find out like, oh, I could do this. If I can, like the theory behind it, right? If I can make this a dominant, well, that means I can go to the A flat, or possibly I could start on the A flat, go to G, go back to the A flat minor to D flat, then to C, right? Or I could start on the A flat, right? Go to the E flat, A flat, G. I mean, there's just so many, there's multiple movements. It's just a huge, so I can't get into all that. But the next common thing I want to talk about is the sus chord. So in a 2-5-1, we can change the dominant to a sus, right? Because a sustain, four is just a delayed resolution, ultimately. So we have the four here. Like if I play a G sus, we have the four, G7 sus going to the three and then to the one. So the sus chord adds a little bit of delayed resolution or kind of mystery to the dominant chord because you don't have the third. You have a sustained four, which just means it's kind of floating, right? So all the dominant chords we're playing in the reharms I just gave you, we can make those sus chords. We can make any dominant a sus chord. So if we play a 2-5-1 and I take the first reharm we did, the two, going to the tritone, dominant, D flat 7, I can make that D flat a sus chord. Right? So by making that D flat a sus chord, completely changes the atmosphere of everything. Likewise, if I'm using the two dominant, I can make this a sus chord. I can make the five a sus going to the dominant. So when you make it a sus, you either have the option to resolve or not to resolve. And there's a whole reharm section in JPS about this with practice exercises and whatnot. But ultimately, you can make any dominant chord a sus chord and have you have the option of resolving it or not. So I could just play a D sus, going to a G sus, going to a one. Now, these different types of movements are going to create different sounds and atmospheres. Like if you're not resolving the chord, it's going to create definitely more of a modern sound. If you're resolving it, it's just going to have a little bit different feeling, right? So that was with resolutions, right? It has more of a bebop-ish feel, even though they weren't using sus chords with bebop. But you have those options, right? Or you can just leave them sus chords. It still works, right? You still get the sound. Or you could resolve one and not resolve the other. Right? Now again, you can also make the flat six a sus, which I love. And then move down to your five sus. Then resolve that. Excuse me. And then resolve it to the one. And again, if we're soloing, right? So you're soloing over the A flat sus. And then going, so again, with your not to get too much into improv right now, but with your improv over your sus sound, I still use, a really easy thing is to actually not switch up anything. If you're more of a beginner, you can still use your mixolydian, but your left-hand voicing is where you're going to create that sus chord. So you can either play, you can think about it in terms of playing the relative two rootless voicing. So for A flat, relative two is the E flat minor. So I'd play a rootless voicing for E flat minor, and that will quickly give you a sus sound. And then with your right hand, just don't change up any of your, you still use your mixolydian mode. You know, however you want to use it. I love having that third. Essentially, the third starts to serve as an extension, really, with the sus sound. I mean, you're not taken away from the sus sound by putting that third in there. A lot of times they'll tell you that's an avoid note, but I actually love the sound. I mean, I think you would agree, as I'm playing this third, it doesn't sound bad necessarily. It's more of a kind of a very open, mysterious, not mysterious, but just kind of reflective sound, right? And again, so I have my sus four in my left hand. For the G, this is a D minor rootless voicing, but again, as you start to improve, I would think of this more in terms as it relates to the G chord, so 7, 9, sus, and 13, and then I'm playing my third here. Right? That's it. So again, you're making the flat 6 sus, and again, if we double our progression, I love it. So here's our blues. So you have that A flat sus, right? And then you're back to the top. So again, adding the sus sound is amazing. It'll I'm sorry, guys. Again, I apologize. It'll give you so many different options as to how to, so many more options as to reharm. And again, you can still add the relative two minor in and then go to the sus. If we take the two, going to the A flat, a D flat sus, then resolve, then to one, right? So we have D minor, A flat, a D flat sus, D flat seven, then the one. Now again, your timing with the chords might need to, I mean, I may not, you know, you kind of have to think about the timing, right? Because you're not going to have much time when you're, the more chords you're adding, right, the less time you have. So you got to pick your spots, right? You kind of got to pick what you're going to do and how many chords. And that's where the practice comes in. You're just going to play around with these and see what you like, right? So one, I could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. That's going to sound a little strange just because of the placement of moving to the A flat minor. That's going to sound like a new progression. I might do 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. So you kind of jump to that progression early, or you just go straight to the, you don't resolve, right? If you don't resolve your sus chord, you'll have the same two beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. So you just keep it a sus. So again, there's so many different ways to mix and match once you understand the tools to create the freedom within reharms. And this is how things get, they start to move out of, you start to unleash the beast, right? The expression beast in the creativity of jazz language. Once you learn these movements, I mean, anything is possible. And again, the great thing about this is you don't need to change much in your right hand soloing because it's still basic theory when you do use these reharms, but the sound that you're creating by changing up the progression is going to instantly make your improv sound completely different. I mean, me going from a D sus to an A flat sus to a D G7 to D flat 7 is going to sound completely different than me just blowing over a 2-5, right? So if I have my D sus chord, you know, so I went D sus, A flat sus, G sus, C, or A flat sus, G7, D flat sus, C, or A flat sus, G7, A flat, D flat, C. There's so many different ways to reharm. I mean, you can get crazy with it. So that is the 2-5-1 analyzation. Now from here, I'm going to start to get into other progressions that we'll work with. Things like turnarounds, right? 3-6-2-5, using different types of extensions on all these chords, some of the dominant chords as well. We'll get into certain reharms with that, but hopefully that was a little enlightening and you can kind of use all of these reharms over 2-5-1. There's so many 2-5-1s in standards and jazz in general. This should really help you with a lot of different, you know, this is applicable to so much. So again, for all the reharms that I talked about in today's episode, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast83. And then you can download the practice materials. You can also find the episode on the website at jazzpianoschool.com under resources and then podcast. All right. So hopefully by the next podcast, I won't be as sick. Thanks for bearing with me and me coughing into the mic. I really appreciate it. And again, I'm truly sorry about that. I know it's probably annoying, but thank you. And I will see you in the next episode. Happy practicing.